and give people a chance to jump on. And thank you so much for that worship there, Dwayne and Allison. That was beautiful. We were, those of us who are seated here, were either on our feet or hands raised up in the air, and just worshiping our Heavenly Father. And wow, just so great to be here this morning. I see a couple of people are joining there. Hey, Adam and Jim, and Jim is there, and who else? We got John, and oh yeah, Nora's here. Oh my goodness, it is this what they call the new norm. Oh my goodness. And so, oh man, I love you all too. I really do. And so this morning, if you didn't catch during the first part of the worship, Dwayne shared that this morning we are going to be having communion. So so you'll have additional time and to be able to go ahead and get the elements there. So if you don't have bread, you can use crackers or Cheez-Its or something else. And if you don't have grape juice, there's nothing wrong with some other water or what's another good anything else, I guess, right? Kool-Aid. Nora said coffee. I don't know about that, but I guess it'll work anyway. Indeed, it's great to be here this morning, seeing my sister JoJo here. I know she's been tired. She's finishing with her studies and getting her degrees, degrees plural, and so proud of her. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Acts, the second chapter, and we'll be starting with the 41st verse. So if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to that passage, that'd be great. I got just one other thing is shout out. It was great to be able to visit everyone this week. I think if I didn't visit you, it's because I didn't have your address. So need to make sure I get your address. And for those who I didn't visit, I called, and it was great to be in touch with you and to see you and vice versa. So I pray that was the case. And so let's get into God's word this morning. Verse 42 in the second chapter of Acts. And they devoted, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. Shall we pray? Father God, this morning, although not assembled here in the sanctuary, assembled here in the sanctuary, we are through technology assembled together. there's something to be said for God's people, his children, who let nothing stop them from coming together and worshiping you, singing songs of praise and reading your word. Father God, I just want to ask that you would be with those families who've been stricken with this awful disease that's plagued this world. Many lives have been lost. And Father, I just want to pray for those families. And not only those who have lost lives, loved ones due to the virus, but there have been many that I've heard of that have have passed away, some with stroke and other illnesses. And so my heart goes out to those families too. Father, this morning I ask that you'd be with me as I share your word. And let me speak your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at a word that I think is pretty popular, I think, maybe in the church, in our setting. It's a Greek word that's called koinonia, and it's most of us know that word, the meaning of that word. If you don't, the meaning of that word being fellowship. And so I just ask that you keep and be in that mindset of fellowship this morning. I want to share with you a story, or it's not even a story, but something that actually takes place, something that's going on 24/7 across other places in this world, especially Romania and Eastern Europe. The amount of children there that are orphans. Every 2.2 seconds, a child is aging out of their system. Aging out of their system at the age of 16. There's a lot of orphans over there. And those, when they age out, 60% of those boys who age out of the system immediately are of the criminal mindset. They turn to criminal, that lifestyle. And the girls, 30% of them, of the girls, when they age out of that, 30% of them prostitution. And 10% of those kids that are in those orphanages, before they even reach the age of 16, 10% of them take their own lives. If that isn't bad enough, I mean, these kids, they're raised in not the most ideal circumstances. As babies, there aren't enough. There's not enough food. There's not enough staff. There's not enough medical supplies. The babies, they're often into their toddler age. They're kept in diapers and in their cribs, because there's just no one there. There's not the staffing to be able to take care of them, not being able to cuddle them, to hold them, to nurture them like a child should be. They don't develop normally. They end up being in a semi-catatonic state. This state is called failure to thrive syndrome. Failure to thrive syndrome. We need to understand that failure to thrive syndrome can happen even in our spiritual lives. It can be avoided and can be cured, but prevention doesn't happen all by itself. The key to avoiding this this spiritual disease is through fellowship. But fellowship is much more than what we think it is. We can see what it means in this passage that I just read that we're sharing this morning. It's the prescription against failure to thrive. Basically, you can take this passage as the definition of the Greek word koinonia. I speak confidently when I say we too often take fellowship for granted. I think through these last 7, going on 8 weeks, we've taken for granted the ability to come together, being able to be within 6 feet of one another, to be able to fellowship. And I think sometimes we all too often we think that fellowship is nothing but a potluck. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with potlucks, all right? I put that shout out to my potluck buddy, and she knows who she is. So there's nothing wrong with potlucks, don't get me wrong. But we see in verse 42 in this text, one of the word the form of the word fellowship that doesn't mean what we usually think. When we read verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Fellowship here from the Greek word here is koinonias, which is where we get the word koinonia. It means to be a sharer, a companion, one who is a partaker, a participant in communion. Maybe we can answer the question of what it is, what fellowship is, if we know what it might look like in our lives or what we might experience as a result of fellowship. What would we experience? What does one experience when there is true fellowship? In verse 43, we read, it says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." What comes to your mind? What do you picture when you hear this verse? "And awe came over every soul." I don't know. There's several things that come to my mind. There's that fellowship when we come together and when one says, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior," and they're baptized. Oh, yeah. I've got chill bumps. Oh man. There's that awe that I experienced this week as Nora and I, we went to the homes of those here in the local Palmer area and calling them up and saying, "Hey, come on outside." And we kept our social distance, but just being able to, for me, there was like the awe of saying, "There you are. There's Jim. There's Peggy. Hey, how you guys doing?" There's the awe of seeing, you know, Mr. Roberts and I don't want to leave anybody out, but just there's that awe when there's that fellowship, when we're able to see one another and to fellowship, even speak of how Jesus has been a part of our lives that week and how he's been able to see us through. Don't you wish you could have this kind of thing, this type of awe happening every day? And I know with the current mandates and all of that that are in place. It kind of regulates us to social distancing. I want to say that I don't like that word, social distancing. I think a better phrase would be physical distancing. We shouldn't, I think there shouldn't be a social distance between each other, especially between the brothers and sisters in Christ. So I would say practice physical distancing and not social distancing. The truth is, we can still experience the signs and wonders and awe things that happen in our body, things that we see happening going on throughout our neighborhood, those awe things. Let me ask this question again. What should we experience when we have true fellowship? We see this more in verses 44 and 45 of this text. We read, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had need. Maybe you know some familiar words in that text that we've already said. There's that togetherness, that together and being the common and sharing. This is the same definition of the Greek word koinonios. Does this mean, now, and I know, and I when I read that, I one of the things this morning, I'm like, when we're together and we have things in common and then we're like-minded, I shared with that. There's a couple folks here, my bride's here and the children's pastor is here, and they both came in today wearing the same kind of colors, both of them wearing dresses, and then when I know this is a part, but amazing how women have the same common thread. And then as Allison was with her husband Dwayne, she was wearing the same colors as these ladies here, and they didn't even say a word. I was just amazing how that happens. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. What do I say? Anyway, there's that common thread when that those who come, Christ believers, Christ followers, there's that common thread that we have. And there's that part where it talks about, where it says, says that they sold their possessions, and so it might, is God's word here saying go and sell everything you have? And I will say no, it's not saying to go sell everything you have. I don't believe that it's saying that. But here is what I believe it means for us today: the selling of possessions was a means to an end. We see that end when we look at the last phrase of that verse. We have true fellowship when we demonstrate the genuineness of caring. When we meet each other's needs, when someone's in a bind and someone says, hey, I need help. And the ability as Christ followers to come together and to be able to say, you know what? I've been blessed. And, you know, I want to help you out. And that's what that means. Doing what it takes to help our brothers and sisters out in a time of need. It's saying that you care about them, that fellowship of caring. And fellowship means that you're taking action. It's just not from a distance saying, oh, wow. Wow, do you see what they're going through? Man, that's too bad. Somebody should do something. That somebody is you. That someone is me. When we see someone in need. If the body of Christ, or whether it's a big, small, is to experience fellowship, we must be of one mind. And I know that's a tough one to understand, but what does it mean to be of one mind? And what does that mean for us? In verse 46 says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. Being of one mind means to maintain a singular focus to serve God and be the hands and feet of Jesus. In reality, it means that we have no other motive than to be with each other and to please our God. And I know that right now, and that we're not really able to meet in our places of worship. It doesn't keep us from worshiping. There's technology out there that allows us to meet together through technology. But technology doesn't replace nor ever will replace that one-on-one, face-to-face time that we can spend with one another, worshiping our God through song and getting into His Word together. We shouldn't let any pandemic keep us from doing those things. We might have to do things differently, but it doesn't have to keep us from worshiping together. Additionally, if we're living God-centered lives and want to experience true fellowship, we need to meet together when we can. And I think that I think through this we're doing things to come together. I mean, even myself going out and visiting each and every one of you that I have addresses for. And just meeting that way, man, I got to tell you, that fills a void. It fills a void in me. And I know that Pastor Karen, she's like, I can't wait to have my kids back. And she doesn't mind seeing parents too, all right. But most children's pastors, they just want to see the kids. and I understand that, being a youth pastor, But she just misses the kids, your kids, my kids. And there was something, you could see that void being filled in her heart when we're able to go out and drop off treats for the kids during the resurrection of Jesus Christ a couple weeks ago. Just a smile that she had on her face. That was really something else. And so so we need to continue to meet and worship and experience true fellowship. So what can happen when we do this? Again, this question is answered in Scripture. If you turn to John, the 13th chapter, and the 35th verse, and it says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Wow. When we do this, when we fellowship, when we come together, people see that. They see Christ in us. There are times when we're not feeling our greatest. And when people see the Christ in us, how that lifts up one's spirit. We see in the passage for today that it isn't just the meals that we have together, that they shared. Their hearts were in a particular condition. And what was that? The condition it was described as they were taking meals together with gladness and heart. And some of the commentaries that I've read, those meals included communion, breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup, that being part of the main meal, coming together and doing that. The fact is that we're supposed to be glad of heart when we come together. Most people understand that, but what's the big deal about eating together? I don't know how to. The best way I can explain it is that's something that our Heavenly Father put a DNA in each and every one of us. You know, that's something that He put in us. That when we come together and we're breaking bread together, it gives us an opportunity to share our hearts and minds. It gives us an opportunity to express our joys and our pains, our struggles and our triumphs. We can begin to bear our burdens with one another and celebrate our victories that each of us have. We're there to cry for each other. Not knowing that, we're there to pray for one another. There's more to a potluck than just the food. And it's the ability, the opportunity to come together and share one another's hearts. I don't know if, I see it all the time, but one of the biggest times that I've seen that expressed is when we had a several people from the Lord 48 come up, Jim Lyons, the leader of the Church of God, Anderson was here with several others, and they came here and worshiped with us. We had potluck that Sunday, and they stayed they stayed there with the potluck for the potluck, and they didn't hurry off. They sat down and we broke bread together, and they didn't sit in just a group by themselves, but they went and sat with other members of those who were there. And one of those individuals was a young lady by the name of was Heidi. And Heidi was a homeless, hurting individual. And she has quite the story, and maybe one day I'll be able to share that with you, but she got to share her story with folks who would have never even known who she was. And how at that potluck, the way she shared and bared her burdens, those visitors from out of town were touched. They're touched in a way that one, that they knew that to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus right there, to be able to love on her, to cry with her, to share with her, and to pray for her. There's something about coming together in fellowship. Something that happens, that God orchestrates when we come together, when we're breaking bread. We're not supposed to be alone. We're not to live life alone. We're Christians, where we are to come together and to meet together, to love one another. And granted, one can read God's word and worship, but we are not meant to be lone rangers. Because when we become lone rangers, then we set ourselves up for that failure to thrive syndrome. We aren't there to receive the love and affection that a brother and sister in Christ have for one another. Church fellowship is important, and being together is important. In Proverbs it says, iron sharpens iron. We need one another. And especially during times like this, during this pandemic. And I'll be glad when this is over. And one day it will be over. I know that it will be. I'm assured of that. But, and you should be too. And so this text said, spoke of breaking bread together, coming together. And this morning, that's exactly what we're going to do. And we're doing it a little bit different this morning. I think that it's important that we have communion. I know that we normally have it. This is the first Sunday of May. And so this morning we are having communion. I'd venture to say, I'm going to go out on a limb that since this has happened, I don't know how many of you have had communion in your own homes. Communion doesn't have to be right here. It doesn't have to be at the worship center. And it doesn't have to be someone who's ordained or licensed. It can just be you. It can just be you, your family, coming together and saying, hey, we're going to have communion. That's the way verse 42 said in that text we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles and teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread. And I think it's, as you're getting the elements closer to yourselves, as you're getting ready for this, especially during this season that we're in, this pandemic, that we don't forget. I think this pandemic has caused some people to forget things. our minds are in a different direction. We're looking at, we're not, I think maybe we've lost a little bit of focus. Well, this morning we're going to dial it in. Luke 22:18-20 says, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20 says, and likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This text here in Luke is saying, do not forget. Do not forget. Don't forget the one, as the song we sang earlier, Jesus gave it all to him I owe. sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And so I want you right now, if you haven't done already, I want you to go ahead and I'm fortunate. My bride, in Matthew, when Jesus was assembled there with his disciples to have this last meal with his disciples, they didn't know what was going on, but he did. And he knew that this was the last opportunity that he would have to meet with them before he was to go on the cross. And it says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He blessed it. And he told the disciples, "This is my body broken for you. So take and eat." So at this time, go ahead and take and eat. And then Jesus took the cup. He took the cup, gave thanks, and he blessed it. He said to his disciples, "This cup, what's in this cup is my blood. It represents the new covenant. This represents my blood. My blood to atone your sins. To atone the sins of those present then, and to atone the sins of those of us who are here now." And after he'd done that, he told them to take and drink. So take and drink. I pray that this is, as you've taken of these elements, the bread and the juice, that you do remember the reason and why we partake. I say it all the time. I know that I do. Because it's not supposed to be a religious thing. It's when you take that bread and that juice that you feel it right here. But that you realize, that you remember the reason why he died on the cross. And that was for the atonement of our sins. He gave himself for each and every one of us. Father, this day we do want to remember you in all that we say and do. We want to remember you when we gather together, when we fellowship, whether it's done through social media or if it's done through physical distancing, that we have an opportunity to look each other in the eye and let the other know that not only do we love them, but we love you. in this world of craziness, how encouraging it is for me and those who believe in you to know that they have a Savior. And it's my prayer this morning that for those who don't know you, that don't have a relationship with you, that they come to know you this day, knowing that tomorrow is not promised, knowing that a half an hour from now is not promised. So the option to wait is really not an option. I pray that for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you now, that they would say, Heavenly Father, I surrender. I surrender my heart, my soul, my body. I surrender that to you. I'm tired of being tired. And I know that you're the only way out of the situation that I'm in right now. So, Father, this morning, it's my prayer that someone prayed that prayer this morning. Oh, how we look forward to coming together, your children, to fellowship, to be able to come into a sanctuary and to gather and to sing a hymn, to sing a song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen.